On ABC Radio,
this is The Big Fish
with Scott Levi.
Ahoy there, a cracking episode of The Big Fish for you this morning. Great news for boat fishers on the giant alpine lake, Lake Eucombine. That's our first cast as we head up to Buchendarra. And some brilliant female anglers from the Fish Her Forum at Newcastle on the weekend. You'll hear from Monica from Eden and Bianca at Yarunga. A couple of great female fishers. And Stinker talks boats, and I reckon he might be the skipper of the smallest outside fishing boat in New South Wales. But there's a reason for that, all coming up on The Big Fish. It's The Big Fish, and as you know, we try to keep you safe on the water and give you all the tips we can. Some great news for those who love to troll for trout in the alpine lakes. Quite a specialised and unique form of fishing. There's more help for you if you do get into trouble, and if you get into trouble up there, it can be very quickly life-threatening. Kane Hopwood is the Marine Rescue Alpine Lakes Unit Commander, and got some good news, Kane. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Yeah, sure. We had our grand opening, for the area. We had the local members there and federal and state members to open our new facility, so our new shed that we have at Buchendarra now. And that houses a brand new 6.8-metre dual-motor rescue craft that we have that can go out in all weather, all conditions. We put it into the lake with a tractor, which is great because it means that even when the lake's really low, and I know a few of you will have tried to put boats in as that boat ramp extends and disappears, it can get very muddy. So we've got the capability of getting the boat in and out of the water in almost all conditions. We can go out in any condition. So if you get stuck out in one of the arms of Eucombine, and that's a huge lake, it's like, you know, five times the size of Sydney Harbour, you don't have to risk going through the choppy centre of the lake to try and get back to where you started. If you're stuck somewhere, just, you know, ring the duty phone number and we can certainly come and help you out. It's a great service. We've had boats in the area for 10, 12, 15 years, I think, but they've always been based in Jindabyne because that's where we have the ability to keep them undercover and in good working order. But now that we've got this new facility there, we've got a boat that's on the water in, you know, as soon as we can get a member to the location.
Just looking at a photo of it now, it's a serious vessel. It's a really fantastic, robust-looking, big boat that very well insulated, I would think, too, up there. You'd be operating in ice and snow sometimes.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We have tried to get Marine Rescue to put a heater in there, but we can close the cabin up completely, so it does get a bit better, and we can run in all weather. Yeah, it's a big unit with it's basically very similar to the units they have down the coast, but you need it on that lake. Like we were going through the washing machine there, which is the kind of center of the lake, north of the Buchendarra Arm. The other day with like probably a metre and a half swells, like white water over the bow, you need a very capable vessel to operate in all conditions in that lake. It's got twin 150s in the back. It's got a very a strengthened bow, so we can nose up to the shore and not worry about breaching or anything like that. So it is a very capable vessel. It's got radar, it's got infrared, it's got all the standard kind of rescue stuff you need these days to operate day and night, basically.
Amazing. It's also a vessel that will be used a lot because it's critical that you get there in the nick of time for a lot of people. Hypothermia is a real risk, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And that's probably the biggest danger. I mean, you know, unless you're sitting by the shore watching someone struggling in the water, your chance of saving them from drowning is really low. But your chance of saving one from hypothermia is, you know, you've got a couple of hours before someone gets really critical. And especially in those edge times of the season, you know, in the spring and autumn, it's often a beautiful day out, you know, on the weather, it's clear. But once that sun goes down, it's like someone opens the freezer door. And if you're wet, even if you're on the side of the actual lake because your boat is sunk or whatever it is, you can get cold really fast, and you can go downhill really, really quick. So us being able to get out there and start searching activities when there's still a bit of light is great. And we've had a few call outs like that where we've gone out at, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, the light starting to wane at this time of year, and if we can get to someone before it gets really dark, sun goes down, the freezer door opens, and it can get really cold really fast. So you might think you might be stuck on the side of the lake, or you might be stuck with a dead motor somewhere. You can be 20 or 30 kilometres back to base, and if you're wet, it can be a real life-changing situation. If we can get to you before you get hypothermia, right? We've got a couple of hours, so if we can get in the water and get searching really fast, that makes a big difference to people.
It's the Big Fish. We're speaking with Kane Hopwood, who's the Marine Rescue Alpine Lakes Unit Commander, about the brand new boat that has found a home at Buchendera, which is a real angler's paradise. It's a great spot. A lot of people launch there to go out and troll for the beautiful big rainbow trout of the lake and the wily browns. So it is a bit of an epicentre for the fishing community. It must be great for them to know that they can call and you can track them down. And that app with the phone, or just that ability you have now, I had to be towed in the other day because my fuel line was playing up, and that ability you have, if you give permission for your phone to be tracked, it's an absolute lifesaver, isn't it, Kane?
Yeah, that's a really handy thing to do. I did that the other day with someone on Jindabyne, and we send you a text message. And in that text message, you just a link. You click the link. Now, I wouldn't suggest people normally click on links they get from text messages, but the messages from Marine Rescue, please click on it, because then that gives us your exact location on GPS, and it makes it so much easier to find you. Yukamina is a huge lake, and it's, even if we're sitting in the middle with binoculars on, it can be really hard to see a grey tinny that's sitting up against grey rocks. With some sticks in the background, it's even with binoculars. So, yeah, that app is really great. And the other thing is, like, you're logging on and logging off. You can log on using the Marine Rescue app and log off. That goes to, it goes either Eden or it goes to one of the other coastal phone centres. But if they don't get your log off again, they will contact us and they'll let us know. So we're part of that whole system. And then we can go chase for you. Just make sure you log off before you go to the pub. Always good.
That is a good idea. And Kane, this shed that's housing it at Buchendera, it's a fantastic setup. You've got solar power. You've got all sorts of things there. And then the $300,000 plus boat, Alpine Lakes 20, which is a beautiful big vessel. As you said, it's, you know, nicely sealed, so you can get inside the snug cabin, and it's very specially reinforced at the bow and the stern for towing and all of the rest of it. It's a really, really robust looking beast. It's a big boat.
Yeah, it's 6.8 meter aluminium Grays Marine craft. It is big, but it needs to be, as I said earlier. You know, the weather can really come down bad on Yukambeen. You can get 1.5 metre swells. We've had white water over the bow of that boat as we're belting along trying to rescue someone.
And it's a very short swell too, which is more dangerous because it's so steep and choppy.
Yeah, and you can't kind of just nose into it like you can on the coast, you know. You don't have much choice sometimes on that lake, and it's a nice stable craft. And, you know, we've had rescues where, you know, someone stuck, they've pulled their mates have gone down and gone, oh, we'll come and get you, and they've looked at the lake and went, nah, I think we'd rather just stay here. So we need to be able to go out in all weather, and that boat is the boat for it. It's basically an ocean-going vessel, so it can handle anything the lake can throw at it.
And it's interesting how much windier it can be up there too. So often those weather warnings come through for the Alpine areas. I think one of the strongest gusts ever recorded at Yukambeen near the river mouth, 118.4 kilometres per hour on August 25, 2024. I mean, that's life-threatening stuff.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me. And it changes so quickly. And that's the thing, you know. It can be fantastic and mirror lake in the morning, and by lunchtime it's a metre and a half of swell. Yeah, so yeah, it's very changeable weather, that's for sure.
Yeah, probably one of the windiest places in New South Wales up there on the high plain. You can see why there are no trees around those mountains through the Monaro. One of the only good things about fishing on the bank there in winter is that the mud freezes if you're fishing the midge hatch in the middle of winter, so you can walk on top of the mud rather than sinking into it because it's frozen solid. That's always nice to have a couple of layers inside your waders. And that's the other thing too, people wearing a lot of clothing and waders, that can be a death trap if your boat goes over, can't it?
Yeah, there is a story before my time of a young lad who was wearing waders in his boat, and they filled up with water and he just sank straight to the bottom. So I would certainly take them off before you get into a vessel, if you can. It makes it very hard to swim and tread water if you have to. But, I mean, if you're wearing a life vest, I suppose that would help a lot.
So yeah, wearing life jackets is a great idea. It's a legal requirement if you're on your own, I think. But navigating Yukon Bean, there are some traps for young players, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And there's a lot of those. I mean, if you drive through Berriedale, you see those big Berriedale boulders. Well, they're all through that area as well. And so even if you've got like 4 or 5 metres of water in your, like your sound is telling you, there can be one of those with a nose just under the water. So you've got to be careful of that. That's where a bit of local knowledge is good. Trees, you know, it's not a lake, it's a dam. So at some point there were forests. Those trees tend to pop up and stick up, and you know, trees can be 15 or 20 metres tall, so you could have a snag just sitting there right under the surface that you can't see, even if you've got lots and lots of water under your stern. And then the lake moves up and down, right, as snowy hydro moves water in and out of it. So those conditions, what a track you might have done last week, perfectly safe. This week, even though you might have, the lake could have gone up or down 2 metres, and that might be enough to make it dangerous. So just always keep an eye out, you know, don't belt along too fast, and watch out for trees that just pop up. They tend to come up from the bottom and float around as well, which is not ideal. Probably more of a problem for water skiers, I think, than people in tinnies, but nonetheless it can still shock you when you hit one, and can take a leg on an outboard out, and then, well, make sure you've got our number so we can come and get you.
Yeah, if you've got signal, of course, sometimes that's a problem too.
That is true, yeah. The Yukon Bean isn't too bad. There's some sections of it, particularly up in the north, that are really bad. We're lucky we've got the new radios that cover the whole state now. So they're really good. We've had trouble in the past with signal. If you've got a channel 16, like a normal VHF handheld, then we do call out on that when we're doing rescues. Not that many people monitor that, but that's something to have as well. It helps you communicate, especially if you can see us, but we can't see you. Like if you're in a little corner of a cove or a bay behind some rocks or something like that, it may be tricky for us to actually see where you come up.
Kane, it's really great news for safety on those beautiful but quite dangerous lakes at times. It's wonderful that you've got the new vessel. It'll be a lifesaver.
Yep, well, we're ready there if anyone needs to. We're on pretty much on call 24 hours a day, so that's what we do.
Yeah, Kane Hopwood, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Scott. Have a good day.
There's Kane Hopwood on the Big Fish, the Marine Rescue Alpine Lakes Unit Commander, and the brand new vessel was commissioned last weekend. It's now in a beautiful big purpose-built shed at Buckandera, and they can get out, as he said, it's like 70 k's per hour to rescue you if you're going down.
On ABC Radio, it's The Big Fish with Scott Levi.
Great to have you on board. I snuck into the New South Wales Women's Recreational Fishing League Fisheries Fish Her Forum at Newcastle on the weekend. 50 wonderful women from all over our state working towards equity in angling. And I caught up with quite a few of our future leaders in rec fishing in their communities, going back with lots of great ideas to give women a chance and more equity in this pastime, this pursuit, this sport that we love?
My name's Bianca and I'm from Yeranga.
Bianca, this big forum, firing, you just had the best idea ever. I was eavesdropping at the door.
Well, haven't we all walked into a taco shop as a woman and just felt completely overwhelmed with what we're looking at and completely ignored by staff, especially the male staff in the store? So my idea was that to get women through the door, we have a doormat or a sticker on the floor and it says, all women love fishing, they just don't know it yet. Because I believe it, I 100% believe that's true.
You've got some great fishing opportunities in your part of the world too, but something that else was mentioned, women are often the number one caregiver looking after elderly parents or children. I think people have to realise that there's a right, it's a human right to go fishing. Is it hard to knock down those barriers?
Well, you just have to knock down the barriers. I'm a mother to three children, and since they were little, I've always had to make time for my mental health, and being out on the river and fishing has really helped give me that therapy time that I need just to ground myself and bring myself back.
How can you describe that feeling? Because for people who don't do that, it's very difficult to sum up that, I don't know, for me it's euphoria. It's just pure joy, isn't it, to have the wind in the hair and the environment all around you and that anticipation of possibly catching a meal for the family?
Yeah, to me it's not even about catching fish. That's a bonus. When I'm out on the water, all I can think about is just the present moment, and I think we get so caught up in our lives that we're not really grounded and present. So, yeah, being out on the water is so relaxing. It just gives me time and space to be myself without any external stuff going on.
What do you hope to take back to your community and hopefully women coming behind you?
I'd love to take back to my community that there is a place for women on the water at all times, anywhere, and that they can find a real peace and sense of being within themselves by giving fishing a chance.
Favourite spot?
The Kallang River is just full of amazing fish. Every rock wall, every bend, every mud flat, you'll find something. Yeah, it's great.
Is there something pretty cool about the colour and quality of that water too? I love the sandy front end of that estuary. It's just so inviting, isn't it?
It is inviting. It's stunning. And we're just lucky to live in such a beautiful part of the world.
Good luck, Bianca. Sounds like you're really fired up and ready to go back and tell the girls everything.
I've got the passion and the drive and I'm ready.
The Big Fish with Scott Levi on ABC Radio.
Just
Hope you're fishing. Hope you're catching as well. It's The Big Fish. We'll have more from the Fish Her Forum in Newcastle on the weekend with those very keen future leaders of fishing to bring equity to the sport. I had a good fish last weekend as well, just between chatting with the crew at the Women's Recreational Fishing League Women's Fishing Forum, and got out to a secret sand flat. Gee, I tell you what, there were more jet skis than I've ever seen. It was just incredible. What fuel crisis. They were going nowhere fast, thousands of them. But I was tucked out of the way, very shallow water, just fishing away. Lots of lovely whiting, catching a few, some good fish too, up to 40 plus centimetres. And a very strange thing happened. I was drifting a tube worm across the flats. It was a frozen treated one because the tube worm farm actually had some problems with their pumps and couldn't produce the live one. So I got the next best thing, and it's just drifting across the flat, and it went past a weed patch with a fairly strong run out tide. And I thought I'll bring it back in and check the bait. So I'm slowly bringing it back, and a piece of kelp, or what seemed to be, detached from the weed patch and started swimming up into the tide. And I thought that's rather odd for kelp to be moving, a big piece of kelp too. It's very strange indeed to see a big piece of kelp going against the tide. And I thought, oh, well, I'll continue to retrieve. So I slowed down bringing the bait back, and it kept chasing it and all of a sudden grabbed hold of it. And I thought, what is that? Anyway, I started to fight. I thought, hello, that's a big fan belly leather jacket. I said, you beauty, they're good on the table. So I managed to hook it, brought it to the net, and the hook came out just as it fell into the net, and I put it in the esky on the ice, and I thought that'll be very good for dinner with a few whiting and a nice big silvery sand flat brim. It was a very strange but welcome capture indeed. Great fun to clean too, just off with the head and pull the skin off, and there it is, straight into the pan. Probably the easiest fish in the world to clean. Target quite a few of them over the ribbon weed, over the Posidonia, in wintertime particularly, with a bit of burley and tiny hooks and pieces of prawn, and you've just got to sort of jig up and down because they suck the bait in, you don't feel the bite. But to catch one in that sort of environment was really an amazing thing, and it just goes to show you never know what can happen, even in half a metre of water, to catch a big fan belly leather jacket. So it was most welcome, and made me think that I might have to target leather jacket again, because they're a terrific fish to catch and a great fish to eat, and very, very easy to clean as well. No bones, and particularly the big fan bellies. And this one was the size of a dinner plate. It was a really big one. It was just beautiful in the pan, fried with a little bit of butter, and went down very, very nicely. No bones as well. So you never know what you're going to get. Get out and get into it. Stinker talks about horses for courses, the different boats he has. He's got four boats. They're not very flash, but they do the trick. We'll catch up with him. And we'll also hear from more of the women who went along to the Big Fish Her Forum, thanks to New South Wales DPI Fisheries and the WRFL, to create more equity for women in fishing, to give more girls a chance to wet a line and enjoy what we love. It's all coming up on The Big Fish.
This is The Big Fish with Scott Levi on ABC Radio.
Yeah, you get line, I get pole, honey. You get a line and I get a pole today. You get a line and I get a pole. Meet you down at that crawdad hole, honey. You know I mean right. Whoa, honey. You know I mean right.
And I'll catch you on the Big Fish, baby.
This is The Big Fish with Scott Levi on ABC Radio.
Here comes Stinker with his fishing tips. Some hot advice for your fishing trip. Where to find him? What's the bait?
Are you catching any, mate?
It's Stinker on The Big Fish. Good morning.
Hey, g'day, Scott.
Talking about boats this morning, because you've got four boats and they all do their job. I've got one little boat, little 10-foot punt, Bill Boat Baggins, who's got a flat bottom. But your boat to go out to sea, it raises a lot of eyebrows.
Oh, well, you're probably... I've got two boats that go to sea. Well, let me tell you my four boats. I've got two stink pots. One stink pot has actually retired. After 30 years of hard work, the original stink pot sits down in my boat shed. It's got a big smile on his face, and he's retired. I just filled it up with tar and bog and putty and everything. And after a while, it just sort of gave up and it had a bit of a split. Then I was driving along on the side of the road, and there on the side of the road for sale is an identical boat, on identical, 11-foot tinny. So I just went and bought it and towed it home and put it beside the old one. So that I've got two stink pots, but then I've got stink bug, and that's 15.5-footer. And that's the one I go out to sea to Broughton Island in. And then up at Tweed, I've got a punt, which has been in the family for over 50 years. So they're all different, all my boats, but I can't do without a boat. I mean, especially in Port Stephens, because half of Port Stephens is water. So, you know, I spend most of my time on the water in a boat. And I just love the whole... bobbing around in a boat out at sea is just, I love it.
Absolutely fantastic. No better thing to do. But obviously, horses for courses too, Stinker. Your boat on the Tweed is just perfect for that environment. And then your little V-bottomed 11-foot tinny for the inshore reef fishing is the one for that. You know, how do they ride? What's the difference if people are looking to get a boat for inshore waters?
Well, really, no one... I wouldn't encourage anyone to go to sea an 11-footer, really. The only reason it suits me, and it suited me for over 40 years, is because the boat that I have is... the 11-footer is thick aluminium, so it's rather heavy. So it doesn't blow around on the ocean. It's got a good grip of the ocean, and it's got a 10-horsepower, 9.9-horsepower motor. But the reason that I fish out of an 11-footer is because the reef system comes very close to the coast. So I can push the boat off the beach, jump in, give it a kick, and within 800 metres or probably even less than that, I'm over good snapper reef. Now, lots of places along the coast, you can't do that because the reef is too far off the coast. And if it was far off the coast, like 3 or 4 kilometres off the coast, I wouldn't go in an 11-footer. But everywhere pretty much from Newcastle right through to Seal Rocks, the reef comes pretty close to the beach, particularly at Fingal and Boat Harbour and Anna Bay. The reef is very, very close, which makes fishing out of a little boat with a little motor very exciting.
And you've got one of those rare setups too, without a bar to have to cross. You wouldn't be doing it in an 11-foot boat either. You've got an incredible safe launching spot with a north-facing aspect, although even that's protected too. It's not called Kitty's Corner for no reason.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, it's so calm. 9 times out of 10, really, you can get off the beach. There are tricks on launching off the beach, but generally speaking, particularly at half tide in, and then you come back. So you're launching as the tide rises. You don't want to go down there on dead low tide because rocks do come out of the water. And I've been known to hit them occasionally. I try to avoid them, but it seems to me I do bang into them occasionally. But it's just perfect because I can just rumble down the beach, push old stink pot, new stink pot, off the boat, and then give it a kick, and then lift the motor halfway up to tilt, and then off I go. And then when I get out of the corner, drop the motor down, and then I got a choice as to where I want to go. I can go over onto the beach on the island. There's an island directly in front of me, and I can pull the boat up onto the beach on the island, or I can fish on the point of the island where I used to always fish for mulloway, but that's where the apple tree is, and that's only, well, that's less than a kilometre from the beach, the apple tree. Or, and what I normally do, Scott, I go around the southern point of Fingal Island and head for the lighthouse, and there's some real tiger country there. And then I anchor in amongst all the breaking bommies there and float a bait of big prawn or slimy mackerel or yellowtail, or pilchards will work, and float them down a rich burley trail and hang on. It's just, I still get excited. I'm like a kid when I'm out there.
We're speaking with Stinker on The Big Fish, and it was interesting with the old stink pot, and I was asking you, because I started to develop holes in my little aluminium punt that I use on the sand flats and inside, so it's just like your Terranora Lakes country, Swansea, Brisbane water, you know, those sandy front ends of the estuary, and it's perfect for that because you can launch it yourself, pull it up yourself, it goes in really shallow water. But I started to develop these pinhole leaks, and water was shooting up. One day I was out in the boat and it was raining, and I thought, why is that water coming up and not coming down? And I remember ringing you and I said, Stinker, what do you bog up stink pot with? And you said, well, there's tar, there's araldite, there's glue, there's my big toe,
chewing gum,
a bit of my shirt sometimes, you know. And so I got a bit of an epoxy putty, and then a friend of mine who used to work for Qantas, he got me some aluminium sticky tape that you could stick on, and then some pieces of aluminium from the aircraft engineers to stop the planes from falling out of the sky. That was really good. But I worked out why it was leaking, and this is a real trick for young players. I used to throw the anchor and the anchor chain up into the front well, and that's where the leak started to spring. It wasn't because the anchor was banging around. It was because of electrolysis. And now I fix those leaks, put a plastic laundry basket in that space, and I think you might have your petrol tank in that space so yours rides well, and then the anchor doesn't touch the hull of the boat and doesn't create that electrolysis. Couldn't work out why these holes in quite a good boat were turning up in that part. But yeah, thanks for your help on bogging it up. I didn't get too particular after that. Any old thing will do, eh?
Well, it's funny, you know, I've just been thinking, I've got a brand spanking new motor for a stink pot. A new 9.9, and oh dear, I actually haven't used it yet. I'm raring to go. But I was just thinking of all the misfortune I've had over the years, and you can get into a bit of strife, but like I say, I've got my oars, but I've, on two occasions, the boat has actually, I've jumped out of the boat and fished off the beach on the island, and when I've come back to get in the boat, it's gone. It was gone. And I thought, what on earth happened? And I looked out and there, around about a kilometre out to sea, this old stink pot bobbing up and down. The tide come up and the wind changed and blew the boat off the beach. So there am I. I'm stuck there. What to do? So I actually run across around Fingal Beach and back to home. And then I got stink bug and drove down the beach. Got into stink bug, and then drove out to sea looking for stink pot, and there he was, about 2 kilometres out to sea, happy as Larry, bobbing up and down, going out towards the shipping lanes, and I just got it, spoke on harsh words to it, and then tied it up and towed it home. That happened to me twice. You'd think I'd get smarter, but the other time I had it in a rock pool, and it blew out of the rock pool and took off again. Actually, come to think of it, there was another time too that I was a bit fortunate, because I come back and there it was, only about 30 metres out, heading off to sea. It's got a mind of its own. So I've jumped in, and I'm not a very good swimmer, actually. I'm a very poor swimmer. And by the time I'd swum the 30 metres or whatever it was, the boat had gone another 10. So by that time I got to that 10, it had gone another 5. So with my last stroke, I think, I managed to grab the boat. And then I had to try and get in it, which is another issue. Look, fair dinkum, big boats are big trouble, little boats are little trouble, but all boats are trouble. But that's half the fun.
It is indeed, Stinker. Get out on the water, mate. I know you've got a trip to Broughton. Maybe the seas will be kind and you can tell us all about it next week. Tight lines.
Hurry, Scott.
On ABC Radio, it's The Big Fish with Scott Levi.
Great to have you on board. I snuck into the New South Wales Women's Recreational Fishing League Fisheries Fish Her Forum at Newcastle on the weekend. 50 wonderful women from all over our state working towards equity in angling.
Hi, I'm Monica and I'm from Eden, New South Wales.
Great part of the world, Monica. Where's your fishing journey at the moment?
It's pretty steady at the moment. I'm currently land-based, but I've been fishing for 3 years using lures, and I'm fishing usually out in the ocean nowadays and getting back into estuary fishing on the boat. We went from starting off in a boat to land-based fishing, so I ended up going up to Queensland along the east coast and fishing out of the boat all the way, and then coming back down to then start land-based fishing, which is completely opposite to how normal people, not normal people,
a lot of fishers
do. Yeah. So it was actually quite difficult to do that and learn how to start from scratch again. So I've basically joined WRFL to learn how to start from the basic needs to become an awesome fisher.
We're here at the McCure Hotel on the banks of the Hunter River with a lot of very enthusiastic women who want to take their fishing further and want to spread the word that it's for everybody. Monica, the trip that you mentioned, oh, that sounds like just something that absolutely hooked you. Tell us all about that. I'd love to do that myself. I mean, I fish in my own backyard. I really don't have that many long-range trips like that. What was that all about?
Look, it was a long time plan, and I'm thankful for my ex-partner that helped me out, and we went together and did that. It was honestly the best experience I've ever had, and it really did hook me into fishing. And just to see more of Australia and different sides of the oceans, the estuaries, and learn a lot more, I learned about everything, which was amazing.
Favourite spot along the way? How far did you get? Because Eden's a pretty fair way south on the New South Wales coast. How far north did you get?
I got just below Cairns in Queensland. So, yeah, everywhere along the coast we basically fished if it was good weather.
Mm. Favourite spot?
I'd say Yeppoon and Ellie Beach would be.
What did you catch?
I was catching mangrove jacks, small GTs, queenfish.
All the reef fish too, I guess, and the odd trout and
yes,
sweet lip and emperor and all that stuff?
Yes, indeed. So coral trout was one of the favourites, especially on the pan.
Yeah, great. And what sort of boat did you take up?
A 4.2 metre boat, and I was very grateful and lucky to have that experience.
So good out on the reef and good up the creek?
Yes, everything involved.
Fantastic. And then going back home after that experience and fishing off the beach, off the rocks and things, and beautiful Eden. I mean, it's a great, pretty safe giant harbour to fish in, isn't it? Was that the backyard for you? Was that where you went land-based?
Yeah, so I ended up exploring everywhere, going off the rocks, off the wharfs down there. They're pretty
amazing.
Good to
yeah.
fish off, and I've caught some pretty good kingfish off them, and flatties and bream, and back to the southern estuary fish, which is great. And then I've been able to take my dad's boat out and go deep sea fishing as well off of Eden, so that's been pretty good.
Wow, so it sounds like you really love it. Would you like maybe a career in it, or just to be a really keen recreational angler and have that time to do so?
Look, I've got my own career started at the minute doing carpentry, but I would love to be just a keen rec fisher and help WRFL get out there and help women get confident in it and bring them into it.
And how are you treated as someone who loves fishing within your peer group, you know, men and women? Do they get it, that you're hooked? Because we all do here.
That is a very difficult one. A few people get it and they're very blasé to fishing, I would say. The men that enjoy fishing that I know that I'm friends with understand it completely. But I do find it quite difficult for everyone to understand it. Yeah.
Well, with this, I don't know, 50 women here, you would fit in perfectly, wouldn't you? I mean, they just all love fishing. It's just their life.
Yeah, it's absolutely unreal to meet women that are into fishing. I've never had that, and I've probably met about two chicks in my life that love fishing, and it's amazing to be out there and explore and talk to more.
I think that's one of the great things about this. People talk about, quote, networking, but to have fishing buddies, keen women all over the state, that's a pretty cool side benefit of this get-together, I would reckon.
Yeah, so it is really good. I actually competed in the Ting X that happened a fortnight ago down at Churros Heads, and Rose and I had the chance that we caught a massive whiting and ended up taking out the... Yes.
That's so a monster.
Her first whiting, and it was a trophy, and that's what got us an entry into the next tournament, which is great.
Good stuff. Love those whiting. I'm going out for a few at Swansea when we finish having a chat. Actually, I've got the boat on the back of a car ready to go, sort of mixing work with pleasure.
Yes.
Well, fishing's work.
Yes.
Monica, great to talk to you. Beautiful part of the world, Eden. Love it. Caught some great fish off Haycock's Point and you know, in the harbour itself too. A great place to get slimy mackerel off that wharf for bait and live bait or cut bait. They're the best bait ever. It's just got everything going for it, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely unreal. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having a chat with us here at the Big Fish Her Conference.
This is The Big Fish with Scott Levi on ABC Radio.
It's The Big Fish, and we're sitting at the boat ramp looking out at beautiful Lake Macquarie under leaden skies with the rain falling down, vacillating as to whether to hit the water or not. Jono Bleakley, you know him well from Ozfish in the day, but now he's working on the Big Fishing Challenge to help raise funds for some great causes, Jono. And before we talk about fishing your backyard, Lake Macquarie, the big event's coming up, I believe.
Well, firstly, I can't believe that we're not out on the water. That's the big one. I never thought I'd be sitting in a car at a boat ramp waiting to maybe go fishing. 5 years ago, I'd be wetsuit on and I'd be out there. But yes, the challenge is coming up, that yearly, those 2 days in the calendar every year that, you know, so many people look forward to. And I'm privileged enough to now be to working with Michael Guest on the challenge. It's such a fantastic event. And I think the big reason I'm so proud to work on it, Scotty, is because it's the causes that are behind it. Yes, we love fishing. We love being in the outdoors. But this is a weekend of fishing that's designed to raise funds and awareness for two awesome charity partners, which is the Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia. So we all know what that is, looking at, you know, prostate cancer and raising awareness around when to get checked and how to diagnose and identify that problem nice and early. And then
they're funding nurses too now. I was talking to them the other day, and they're taking a leaf out of the McGrath Foundation book, and they'll fund nurses to help men through that journey if they're undergoing treatment. So that's a really terrific cause, isn't it?
Yeah, I had the privilege last year to sit down with someone at the foundation and have a good yarn about, and they'd actually been diagnosed themselves. So I got to hear firsthand what that experience looks like for a male. You know, it is something that you and I are going to have to be on, Scotty, you know.
Yeah, it's a very common cancer, isn't it?
It is. It's one of the most common. And yeah, anyway, I got to sit down with him and hear about the full, you know, where they're spending all their money. And it's one of those really awesome charities where, you know, the big buzz thing around charities is how much of your dollar goes towards the charity, you know, and how much of it is administrative costs. And this is a really high percentage of money that goes back into the good cause. And the second charity is the Peter Duncan Neurosciences Research Unit, which is all about MS, Alzheimer's, and those, you know, terrible diseases that we have to go through sometimes.
Great causes, John Obleakley. And how can we catch a fish to raise the funds to keep the research and the support in these causes going?
Yeah, so the challenge, the Protect Fishing Challenge, is all about fighting a fish for medical research. The best way to do that is just by entering the competition. So you jump over to the website, you submit your entry. When you do that, you know, not only are you supporting these causes, but you're also going to get a hat, a brag mat, a sticker, and it allows you to get out on that weekend, compete in the challenge for over $300,000 in prizes. But that's not why we do it. We do it because we're trying to raise funds and awareness for these two awesome partners.
That's great. And then you take a photo of the fish on the brag mat. It's very cheat-proof, actually. You've got all these checks and balances, certain species. It's all across the state. Hey, we're just about to hit Lake Macquarie, which is a terrific waterway. The sand flats are great. Very difficult to fish. Great flathead. Really diverse habitat. You've got really deep water in parts, haven't you? And then you've got these shallows teeming with life, huge seagrass beds. I know at Ausfish you were really keen to look after the Posidonia and had projects there to replant it and did a wonderful job in that time you were working for them. But where would we go to guarantee a fish? Because there are squid here, there are giant sharks, hammerheads that are 14 foot long, there are kingfish, I was talking about catching a giant leather jacket the other way. I mean, the number of species are a massive. Snapper, dewies, you name it.
If anyone ever says the word guarantee to you when fishing, Scotty, you know they're having you on, because nothing in fishing is guaranteed, but we can certainly increase our chances of catching one. So decision fatigue is something that I reckon a lot of people in Lake Macquarie go through because of the amount of options that there are, and you don't really know where to start, and you can be fishing in a particular area and then you start to think, oh, should I be over there, or there's boats going that way, which way do I go? So I like to break the system down by essentially fishing the tide and working out what the tide's going to do on that day. What species do I want to target? And then you can soon cross out a fair few areas. If we start at the top of the system, you got the channel. Channel's a fantastic spot for squid if you're into your squid fishing. It's also got, in wintertime, amazing run of Australian salmon, which we're not too far away from. And there's also really good brim and whiting right up on the flats. And for me, the run-out tide is fantastic for brim. Whiting, in my opinion, love a run-in tide. Squid, not too worried. And then salmon, well, at the right time of year, they're in plague proportions. As we come through the heads, you've then got the beautiful Marks Point area, which is fantastic for brim, whiting, flathead.
And beautiful seagrass beds there. They're very, very rare and magnificent, aren't they?
Yeah, and that's where you're going to spend your attention, around those Posidonia meadows. If you can get a good bait in front of them, you're at good chance. And then as we move back through the system, it drops off into 6, 8, and then eventually in areas it gets to about 10 to 13 metres. And that's where you're a chance of those bigger predators like mulloway, tailor, salmon. And you've just, the secret to fishing the deep water, just find the birds, find the bait, and the fish aren't far away.
Such a big water though, Jono. I mean, it's huge. You can go for hours from one end to the other in a small boat. So you really have to sort of have a plan, I think. If you're just going to drift for squid off the drop-off, you'll get those at the moment, won't you? They're not the calamari squid, though. They're a different type. They're the longer ones without the big wings.
Yeah, the arrow squid. Yeah, so we have a few different... Well, I've caught green-eyes in the lake before. We obviously get the arrow squid. For me, squid are a 365-day species that you can go target. Summer's obviously the best time to target them. But yeah, if you're going to fish the lake, you need to put a plan together. Pick a species you want to target, pack the gear for that species, and then spend the time on that. And the next time you go out, you can try something different. But you'll soon waste the whole day if you try to do too many things in once.
Yeah, great tip there, Jono. I'm still confused as to what to do, but we'll work it out when we get out there. Look for the birds. They'll tell you where the fish are and tight lines. Hey, thanks for joining us on The Big Fish. And I think we're going to reciprocate too. I think I might be jumping on your podcast at some stage and we'll have a yak there as well.
Mate, we can never talk too much fishing. I look forward to it.
Jono Bleakley there on The Big Fish as we're about to hit his backyard, Lake Macquarie.
Went fishing last Sunday and I caught a smelt. Put him in the pan and the fire he felt. Of all the smells I ever smelt.
Well?
I never smelt a smelt like that smelt.
As the salmon swam up the river to spawn, he said to himself with a great big yawn,
ho, ho.
The next time I come up this way,
I'm gonna make the trip in a Chevrolet. Ho, ho.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. You can discover more ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.